I think that is a very good sign. And that's where our hearts need to be, to walk well with the Lord, that we worship God because of who He is, not because of what He does for us. You know, when we get caught up in that kind of life, worshiping God for what He can do or what He doesn't do, it leads us to that place where many times you see people who are disappointed because God didn't do something, and they say, well, I used to be a Christian. I used to worship God, but, you know, I mean, why would He take my mother? Why would He allow this to happen? Why would He, you know, see, rather than worshiping God for being God and just God alone. Whether God does anything at all, God is good and has created all these things. He's good. Just worship God because He's good. Whether He did anything at all, God is good. So, thank you for the song, the reminder to worship God just because of who He is. Tonight, my topic, you know, it's interesting how God works. I ended up, like I said, talking to my brother Stephen beforehand, and we were talking about how God reveals Himself in the agriculture of society, and Jesus spoke a lot that way, and you know, the Israelites got it. Even when they rejected it, they got it. They understood what He was saying. But, you know, our society has changed a lot, and so a lot of people don't know what the Lord has said or what the Lord is going to do. You know, there's a segment in our Passover Seder that Barry Berger said every time he did the Passover, and now I say it, that the rabbis are not teaching the Jewish people the truth, and the church is telling them virtually nothing. You hear that comment from us at Passover. Well, tonight I'm going to attempt to rectify a little bit of that, because I've come tonight to tell Jewish people about their Messiah using the scriptures that they know well. We will be in the five books of the Bible, the beginning, the books of Moses. We're going to listen to what Moses had to say about the Messiah and about man. We will go into the New Testament to see how what Moses said, Jesus fulfilled. But we're going to be in the Old Testament. And it's a message that is to Israel, but it is a message to all mankind. But I want Israel specifically to understand. And I hope that we are able to record this message tonight so that if someone, a Jewish person, might go on and hear this tonight, he will know without a doubt who the Messiah is, and not that He's coming, but He's returning. He has come. We're going to take kind of a flight over Leviticus every now and then, 23, because there's a mystery in the Bible that is so beautiful, and that is what I want to share with you tonight, what the Lord shared with me. In Leviticus 23, chapter 23, the Lord reveals to Israel His feasts. He says in Leviticus 23, chapter, or verses 1 and 2, He says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feast of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are My feasts." That's important for us to understand that. And the feast that God gave was the feast of Passover and unleavened bread. It was the feast of first fruits, the feast of weeks, the feast of trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Those are the feasts in Leviticus 23. And a feast is a time, a place, and an event. And God says, I shall, in a sense, feast upon the earth 7 times. And they are hidden in these 7 feasts. These are the Lord's feasts. We talk and we say so many times, we say these are Israel feasts, and so the church has forsaken them and not understanding to teach them and to remind us, because it is how we know what God is up to. The feast of God reveals what God is up to, and we've forsaken that. And so that's why sometimes we're trembling and worrying. What is God up to? What is God going to do? Well, they're hidden right there in His feast. If we would teach them and know them, we would know exactly what God is up to, what God has done, and what God is going to do, and how faithful He is to His feast. But God gave man feast as well. And these are works that men must do in these feasts in order to know God. If you turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 23, it's where my topic comes from, 23:17. He says to the house of Israel, He says, 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. This commandment from the Lord to the house of Israel had great significance because it reveals the holiness of God and the requirement of man to stand before Him. So if you're in Exodus 23, we're going to move back up to verse 14 so that we can look at what these feasts are. There's 3 feasts that men were to come before the Lord. And these are the ones that God told Moses to tell Israel. It says, 3 times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you, and at that time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the feast, the first fruits of your labor which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, at the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. 3 times in the year all your males shall appear before the Lord God. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord God. You shall not boil your young goat in its mother's milk. So how was Israel to stand before the Lord when He is holy and there is no darkness in Him and no one can, and He cannot be a part of any darkness? God's commanding Israel to come to a feast, to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it's a revelation about sin. So one must be pure who comes before the Lord. He must be unleavened. God tells us to remind ourselves and remember when we come to Him in that unleavened state that we have been delivered out of Egypt. Egypt is the symbol of Israel's sin. Every time God seemingly didn't do something for Israel in the wilderness, what did they say? Let us return to Egypt. And it angered God every single time because it was a lack of faith. It's a sign of returning back to one's sin. And when God says, no, come out to me in purity. So he invites them to an unleavened feast. But he also tells them not to come empty-handed. But how does one become unleavened bread? See, because God desires man to come before him unleavened. So how does he do that? See, that Israel was supposed to symbolically coming pure of heart because they were eating unleavened bread, because we know throughout the scriptures, leaven always represented sin. Every single time. That is why they were to eat unleavened bread as a reminder of how God wanted them to come to them. So how do you become unleavened bread? Paul the rabbi tells us in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 5:7. He says this, that we must accept the Passover lamb that was slain for our sins. Verse 7 says, therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. We cannot come to the Lord without being unleavened. But it's tied to God's feast. See, here is man's feast. It's the unleavened bread. But it has to be tied to one of God's feasts. And what did Jesus say on the night before he went to the cross? He said that, you know, he was going to be sacrificed for our sins. Passover also had 7 days of unleavened bread to remind us that we were to be unleavened because he was unleavened. For the one who does not accept the lamb who was slain, Jesus cannot come to the feast of unleavened bread. One cannot appear before the Lord empty-handed. For the psalmist says this, but know that the Lord has set apart for himself who is godly. Therefore, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. For one who does not accept the lamb who was slain, Jesus, cannot come to the feast of unleavened bread, leaving one without an offering, because he will not have purged the old dough. Think of it. Here it is in 1 Corinthians. You were there, 5:7. Look at verse 8. Therefore, again, the rabbi Paul teaches this. He says, therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. See, when God speaks of leaven, he's talking about the inward sin of man. He's not talking about food. You know, and so many times that is what happened with Israel and with many people. We focus on our bellies rather than on what the Messiah is saying. Remember what when the Lord Jesus was walking with his disciples and he said, look out for the yeast of the Pharisees. And they said, oh, is it because we didn't bring any bread? And Jesus knew what they were thinking. He says, not, why do you have your mind on bread? He says, I am speaking of their doctrine. Their doctrine was going to contaminate the unleavened bread. The sincerity, the truth. And so, when he says, purge out the old dough, you know, and that we are to come as leaven, without malice or without wickedness. This thus fulfilled what Jesus said in the parable about the talents. If you'll turn to Matthew 25, 24 through 30. We're going to look at that parable again when Jesus speaks about the talents. And we're going to look at the one who received one talent. Because he is now being called to come before the Lord like all others have. And he's to come with unleavened, with a gift to the Lord. And that gift should have been his righteous works. But listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says this, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You should have reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, God desires us to come unleavened. And if we think that we can come before the Lord any other way, God, too, will let us know that we are not a part of him. Also, there one must come to the Lord by the call of the Lord. Remember what he said, at an appointed time, you are to come to me. Those men were to come. No other time could they come that the Lord would receive them except for at the appointed time. Jesus reveals this appointed time. Listen to what he says in John 6:44. He says, no one comes to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. No one comes unless the Father draws me. That's the appointed time. And every one of us who is sitting here tonight, who has accepted the Lord as Messiah, Jesus, the Savior, you have heard your appointed time. See, that's what Paul said, did he not? Paul said that at the appointed time, Jesus was revealed in me. Not a day sooner, not an hour, not a year did he know who the Messiah was. There he was, persecuting the works of the Messiah on his way to Damascus, and God struck him and stopped him in his tracks. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Yeshua, the one that you persecute. Now get up, and I shall show you what you are to do. His appointed time had come. And he became unleavened that day. That day. Forever and ever. To be a part of the feast. See, these are the feast of men. Not the works, not the feast of the Lord, but the feast of men. And that we are how we are to come to God. unleavened, without sin. So he says, but the one who has obeyed the word of the Lord, that one is welcome to the second characteristic of God. I said the first was his holiness, now his mercy. And the mercy of the Lord is the feast of the harvest, the second feast, the first fruits of one's labor which he has sown in the field. This is why when Messiah Jesus tells the disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest, because he knew that his death and resurrection would bring about the call of those chosen to be into the harvest of the Father God. How beautiful is that? So he tells Israel, you need to be unleavened so that you can come to the feast of harvest. And so Jesus comes about and says, there is a harvest. There is a harvest that you are to come to. Matthew 9:35-38. And we'll look at the Father's harvest. So that you understand what Jesus was actually saying to the house of Israel. He says this, and Jesus went through the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord. He's talking about his Father. Pray to the Father of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. See it? See how beautiful what God had told Moses to tell his people? Come to the feast. And I want you to understand why this is all inclusive. When he told Moses to tell all the men come three times, that's not like it is today where men say, hey, look, there's a men's meeting and y'all get to stay home and all. Uh-uh. When he said go, he would be leaving his children, wives, livestock, unattended, unprotected, because this isn't a day trip to go to the temple. This was weeks sometimes. Depending on how far you were, it could be several weeks. So guess what? All the children, everything came before the Lord. Though the men were going to stand before him, the wives and the children were there. It's also a hidden mystery, men. You're supposed to be leading your family to know the Lord. And you fail if you don't. You're supposed to come before the Lord, bringing your children and your wives with you. It hasn't changed. It hasn't changed, and that is one of the downfalls. Men have forgotten that God called us to come and to bring our wives and children with us. Come before me. So it was an inclusive harvest that would have children, wives, men, all there. So note that Jesus is, and I, as we look at the feast, I talked about it. I said that God also had feasts working to bring forth so that we could come unleavened. We see God had to move in the Passover and the unleavened bread. Jesus was that unleavened bread. He was examined. Then the Pharisees said they found no sin in him. He was unleavened, making him worthy to be the Passover lamb. And so that Jesus had to be buried, as our scripture, as we said the prayer, Blessed are you, O Lord our God, who brings forth bread from the earth. Right? And so as God tells Israel to bring their first fruit, God brought his first fruit, fulfilling also the Feast of First Fruits, which is Jesus being brought up. So Jesus was planted in the earth, I said, as the harvest of righteousness, making him the Father's first fruit presented before him. That also comes by the Rabbi Paul telling this in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23. He says this, but in fact, the Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in the Messiah shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, the Messiah, the first fruit, then at his coming, those who belong to the Messiah. See it? How beautiful? God's first fruit. See, God's feasts are working to bring forth the feast that God requires of man. God didn't leave it up to us by ourselves because we could not have fulfilled it. But God was commanded Israel, before he revealed his feast, he was commanding them to have a heart for freedom from sin, unleavened. He was wanting them to know to be a part of his harvest, to be with him. Then comes the third feast, the Feast of the Ingathering, and it's at the end of the year. When you have gathered in your labors of your field, this reveals the grace of God to all whom all he has sown and he will reap. Jesus tells us at the end of the age there will be a harvesting of the righteous and a destruction of the tares. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to look at what Jesus said about that time, about the harvest of the Lord, 24 through 30. So that you see that there is an ingathering feast of God that we have been invited to. He says, he put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds amongst the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore again, then the weeds appeared also. And the servant of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How does it have weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather the weed along with them? And he said, but he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the weed along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in a bundle to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we see that there's an ingathering feast by the Lord. This is all good news. But I must warn you of the bad news. The only ones who have accepted the offering that is required during these feasts are welcome. For the Lord commanded Israel this on the same day that Moses instructed the three men to come three times of the year. And that's in Exodus 23, 18 through 21. Remember, we read it in the beginning. See, the Lord gave Israel everything even before the law came. This is prior to the law, that the mystery of this truth was there. It says in verse 18, it says, "You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice." Whose sacrifice? His sacrifice. "With leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain till morning." Now, God commands Israel to not offer his blood sacrifice with leavened bread. I just told you that it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover all working at the same time when Jesus went to the cross. Remember how the scripture tells the story? That Jesus said to his disciples, because it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he says, "I desire to eat this Passover with you," knowing that it was going to be the last Passover. It was the week of unleavened bread. The works of God now are at work. His feast are being partaken in at this moment that I just told you about, my feast. That's why he says it that way, that the offering of the blood of my sacrifice, because the Father was going to make a sacrifice, and that sacrifice was going to be his Son. And so his Son looks to his disciples and he holds up the bread and he says, "I am the bread of life. He who eats of this, partake, for this is my body that is being crushed for you." He's revealing that the time for all men to come is about to come. This feast, these three feasts, are going to be born that night with Jesus. And then he takes the cup and he says, "This is my blood." See, can't give. It has to be unleavened and it has to be pure blood. He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant that I shed for you." God's works were being done. Two of his feasts were being fulfilled right before their eyes. We know that when Jesus went into the grave and rose again, the first fruit offering had come. The third feast of God had been cast. And then the Feast of Weeks, which is also called the Feast of Pentecost. Jesus rose, walked on the earth 40 days, and then he told his disciples, "Wait 10 more days to fulfill what?" The Feast of Pentecost, 50 days. And the Holy Spirit showed up just on time, not a day late, not a dollar short. It was to fulfill the four feasts of God so that we could partake in the three feasts that he had commanded back in Exodus 23. That we could be unleavened before God now. All men could come unleavened if you accepted the offering that God had made here that he commanded in 18. The blood offering, if you accept it, you can come to the harvest of God. You will be a part of the ingathering of God because God has fulfilled his four feasts. There's only three left. Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacle. These are days of great trial and trouble, but great reward at the end. But we are in these feasts right now. And then he says, and Jesus being on the cross, remember, this wasn't by accident that the Pharisees said. See, so they knew the commandment. It's a mystery how God kept them blind to the truth. They had examined Jesus and said he was pure. They shed his blood. But yet they upheld the commandments of God because they said, "Take him down. This pastor, we can't keep him there overnight." That fulfills the scripture. "Nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning." They took him off the cross. They were fulfilling scripture. Then he says, the first of the first fruit of your land shall be bring into the house of the Lord your God. And so when Jesus rose, he was at the right hand of the Father. That's why Stephen stood there speaking to the house of Israel. And as they were stoning him, he looked up and he said, I see him. The first fruit, he was basically saying, I see him standing at the right hand of God. And I will say to the house of Israel what Stephen said that night. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they have done. Why? Because God desires that they come to this feast. That they too would be part of the unleavened bread by accepting the offering that God has made in His feast so that they can partake in the feast of men. But God gives a warning. He says this, behold, verse 20, behold, I send my angel. That's the messenger. That's none other than Messiah. I send him before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be aware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. How many times did Jesus say, I come in my Father's name? He wanted the house of Israel to know, I've come, I am that angel. I'm the one. I'm the one who walked with you in the wilderness. I was your cloud by day and your fire by night. I heard your cries. I fed you food from heaven. I parted the waters for you. I gave you all that the Father had for you. Hear me and obey. I conclude again with this good news, or say it as it is said, the gospel of God. He who will repent and turn from his wicked ways and seek the Lord through the death and the resurrection of the Messiah Jesus and the sacrifice lamb shall be saved. It's that simple. So I say this. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is one. For the feast of unleavened bread is your Messiah Jesus. The feast of the harvest is your Father Jehovah. And the feast of ingathering is none other than the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, desiring to gather you in. Think of how beautiful God names that last feast. It's not by mistake that He calls it ingathering, because it's this simple. If you are in the Spirit, you will be gathered. Just that simple. And if you're not, you won't. Because it's a feast of ingathering. And it's at the end of the year, which simply means it's at the end of the age. God has done so much for us that we could be a part of all that He has. God desires that all men come, that they might be unleavened before Him. That is why He sent His Son, so that you and I and all who will hear the voice of the Lord and accept that truth, that Jesus is the Messiah, not the one coming, but the one returning, because He has a final harvest to take care of. We are in that period right now where we should be calling men and women to become unleavened before God. Let them know that God has a great feast for them. It's called unleavened. And know that He has a great harvest that He desires them to be a part of. How beautiful is our faith? How Jewish is our faith? Let's go tell somebody. Come to the harvest of the Jewish King. You know, I was blessed today. I had a young man call me that calls me uncle because I've known him since he came into the world. And his father and I are like brothers. We've been friends since I was 7 years old. And it was so rare. And he texts me. And I don't think this was by mistake, but God had led him to read Psalms 2. And it was almost like being, Philip getting up in the carriage with the eunuch. He says, "Who is this scripture speaking of?" That's what he texted me. And I said, oh, I tried to text back, but I was like, no, I gotta talk to him. And I just went into the back room of the shop and sat down, and him and I, and we walked through that chapter. But it was just such a delight. He said, "Who is he talking about?" Oh, and I said, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus. I said, David was a prophet of the Lord, and he saw him and knew that he would be the Son of God. I said, "See what he says?" And he goes, "What does it mean to kiss the King?" Oh, son, he just wants you to know him intimately. And if you won't, see what the scripture says. It says you shall be destroyed. Kiss the King while you can. Because there is coming a day, the scripture tells us, that men will seek God and God will not hear them because He has come in judgment, not in the love that Jesus has for us now. Remember, Jesus told His disciples, "You do not know what heart you are of, for I did not come to destroy but to save life." But Jesus is coming back for the end gathering, and I just told you what He's going to do to the tare. He's going to throw that tare into the lake of fire, and that's anyone who will not accept the feast that God has for us. So I'm glad each and every one of you are a part of the end gathering. What a wonderful thing. But please go tell others that God desires them to come to the Feast of Israel. These three are the Feast of Israel. We saw the seven feasts are the Feast of the Lord that allows all men to come to the Feast of Israel. See, God commanded the men of Israel to come three times. He didn't tell the world. He said the men of Israel. But the Bible tells us very clearly that if we will accept the God of Israel, we are welcome to go to the feast with them. What a beautiful thing. We are one at the feast. We are one at the feast. But they are the Feast of Israel. God's work will be completed so that His ultimate feast with His children will be given. That's why Jesus tells us, "I will not drink this again until when?" Right? At that great feast. So there is a feast coming. But let's not focus on the belly or the food that's going to be there. Let's focus on the people that's going to be there, right? That's what God wants from us. I hope you were blessed tonight by what you've heard. But don't go out of here without telling someone else. And because we're recording this, I want to pray a prayer. And I pray that whoever hears this tonight, who is not a part of the feast of God, that they might pray and cry out to the Lord with an earnest heart. Prayer has no power without faith. It is just rhetoric. But if someone prays truly believing what they have heard, that Jesus, the Messiah of God, through the feast of the Passover, which he has been slain, and the first fruit offering that desires to give of the Feast of Weeks the Holy Spirit unto them, they will be saved. So now I pray and close. Heavenly Father, I come before you right now, and dear Lord, I just pray for, you know, every man's appointed time. Father, if there is just one who is listening to this, Lord, and has a desire of truth in their heart, and you have called them out of the darkness into your marvelous light, I pray that they will accept and believe that Jesus is your only begotten Son, who has died upon the cross and shed his blood and has rose from the grave on the third day and sits at your right hand. And whoever believes that he has died for them shall be saved. Father, may they walk with you in the spirit of truth. May they be a part of the end gathering and the great harvest of our God. Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you, and I pray that the words of my mouth have been acceptable and true to before you. Father, I ask that you bless my brothers and sisters. Again, Father, I ask that you give them traveling grace and mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.